Kosher, Tao, the Three Treasures, Volume 1, Talks on Fragments from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 5.
Bhagwan, on the danger of overweening success, Lao Tse says, stretch a bow to the very full, and you will wish you had stopped in time. Temper a sword to its very sharpest, and the edge will not last long. When gold and jade fill your hall, you will not be able to keep them safe. To be proud with wealth and honor is to sow the seeds of one's own downfall. Retire when your work is done. Such is heaven's way.
Logic moves to the very extreme. Life never. That's how logic misses life. Logic has a tendency to reach to the conclusion. Life is never concluding. Life has no conclusion. It goes on and on and on without any conclusion. It is without any beginning and without any end. It is always in the middle. It is always in the present. It is an ongoing process. That's how a logical mind becomes by and by dead. That's how logic becomes its own downfall. Don't conclude. Live without conclusion. That is the only way to live. Because then only you live in the middle. And the middle is the balance. A life is a balance between opposites. It never comes to an end. The balance goes on and on. It is eternal. A man of understanding never comes to any conclusions. Cannot come. When life itself is non-conclusive, how can a wise man be conclusive? If you ask Lao Tse any conclusive answer, he will laugh. He will say, you are foolish. He lives according to life. And the most basic note, if you live according to life, is balance. Never move to one opposite. Don't cling to one polarity, then you will lose balance. I have heard, once it happened, a great king had to decide something against his heart. Two of his ministers had committed some crime, and he loved the ministers very much. Even if they have committed the crime, he wanted to forgive them. His love was such for them. But that was against the law of the country. And that won't be a good precedent. So they had to be punished. And the law of the country said that for such a crime, only death is the punishment. So what to do? It was too difficult. So he found out a way. He said they have to be sentenced to death. But I will give them one chance more to live. On two hills, a tight rope will be stretched. If they can walk over it and survive, then I will forgive them. It was almost impossible. It was impossible because they have never walked on any tight rope. And on two hills, above a big valley, death everywhere. And to walk on a tightrope is a great art. One has to learn it. It is a great discipline. They have not even dreamed in their life that they will become tightrope walkers. One of the two couldn't sleep the whole night. He was praying to God that help me. He couldn't take his tea in the morning. He came to the place where this phenomenon was to happen. The whole capital has gathered. The other, knowing well that I don't know anything about tightrope walking, nothing can be done. And it is almost certain that I am going to die. So why not sleep well? He slept. In the morning he took his usual tea. He walked leisurely, came to the place. The other was trembling, feverish. But he was quiet and calm, knowing well that death is to happen. And when it is certain, why bother? Die silently. He started walking on the rope, and wonder of wonders, he walked. Nobody could believe. Even the tightrope walkers had come to watch. Even they could not believe. It was difficult even for them. The distance was too much, and the danger was too much. One step wrong, a little leaning towards the left, a little more, or towards the right, and you are gone. A little unbalance, and death is waiting on every step. But the man walked, and he walked so leisurely, completely as leisurely as he has gone for a morning walk. He reached to the other hill, but the first was trembling, perspiring. He shouted from his place to the other man, "Please tell me how you walked, so I can also walk." And the other man shouted back, "Difficult, because I don't know the how. I know only one thing. This is the way I have been walking in my whole life. I am not a tightrope walker, but now I know I am, because this is the way I have been living my whole life, balanced, never going to the extreme. Or if I lean towards the left, immediately I balance it by leaning towards the right. I have not done anything else, but this won't help you. Because this is not something you can learn suddenly. If you live in this way, the neck of it comes to you." Remember the word neck, I emphasize it. Religion is a neck. It is not a science. Otherwise, it can be taught very easily. It can be explained very easily, theorized. There is no trouble about it. Even the greatest problem in science can be solved. If not today, then tomorrow. But it will be solved through intellect, through intellectual effort. And someday when it is solved, it is not solved for one who has solved it, it is solved for all. Einstein solves the mystery of relativity. Now there is no need for anybody else to solve it, it is solved for all. You have just to understand it, that's all. You need not go into the vast effort of solving it. It is solved. Science is a public phenomenon. One man solves it, then it is solved for everybody. One man invents, it is invented for all. It is a mass phenomenon. Religion, thousands of losses may have happened. Nothing is solved. You have to know it again and again on your own. It is not science. Science can create scriptures, theories, but religion cannot create scriptures and theories. It is a lived experience. You cannot reduce it to a theory. It is very subtle for that, very delicate for that. Theory is very rough grass. Experience is very subtle. Can any tightrope walker make a theory out of it? And just by understanding the theory, you can understand the theory perfectly. You can be examined and you can get 100% marks. But do you think that you will be able to walk on that tightrope because you have understood the theoretical background of it? No, it won't help. It is not a science. And I say to you, it is not even art. Because art can be imitated. Neck can never be imitated. Art is something you do outside of you. You paint a picture. You make a poem. You dance. You do something which is visible, can be imitated. Even Picasso can be imitated. But religion can never be imitated. It is nothing outside. It is something within. You can imitate a Picasso, a Michelangelo, but how can you imitate a Lhasa? You feel something is there, but it is elusive. You know that he knows something, but you cannot pinpoint it, you cannot finger it out. It is a neck. Then what is a neck? A neck comes when you do many, many things on the path, trial and error, falling and rising, going astray and coming back. Thousands of experiments in living, and suddenly one day you have the knack of it. A knack is the essence of many errors, mistakes, of trial and error. Something grows in you. And once you know it, you can forget about it. You have it always. You need not remember it. If you need to remember it, it is still not a knack. It is something in the mind. If it is a knack, it goes into the blood, into the bones, into the very marrow, into the very being. Then you can forget about it. A Lhasa is not to remember how he has to walk, how he has to be. It is not a discipline. Once you know, you know. You can forget. You can simply drop it out of the mind. You will follow it. You will follow it without knowing it. Neck is neither science nor art. It is a lived experience. And this is the greatest art or the greatest science. Science of life or art of life. You have to walk in life and see how you fall. You have to watch yourself and observe how you go astray. And the mind will insist to go to the very extreme. Whenever you feel an unbalance, immediately balance it by moving to the opposite. Mind is either a rightist, it moves towards the right. Then it never moves to the left. Or mind is a leftist, then it moves to the left and never moves to the right. And I have come across a very strange phenomena. Sometimes mind becomes middleist, remains in the middle, but as fanatic about the middle as others are about right and left, he is also not in the middle. Because a man who is in the middle is never fanatic. Only extremists are fanatics. They cling to a certain position. And middle is not a position. It is a constant gaining of balance. Try to understand. This is the most meaningful feeling that Tao can give it to you. Middle is not a fixed state. It is a constantly changing movement. So you cannot be in the middle like a man who can be in the left or in the right. You cannot cling to the middle. One who wants to be in the middle will have constantly to lean towards right and left. Sometimes you will see he is a leftist, and sometimes you will see, no, look, he has become a rightist. He has to walk like a tightrope walker. And only between these two extremes, balancing constantly, continuously, is the middle. Middle is an alive situation. It is not a fixed and dead point that you achieve forever. No. Moment to moment you have to achieve it again and again and again. Watch a tightrope walker. It is an experience. In my childhood, whenever I heard about a tightrope walker anywhere, in my village or in the neighboring villages, I will run and watch, because from the very beginning I have been feeling that he knows something which is very, very significant for life. What he is doing, he is not statically in the middle, otherwise he will fall. He is never for a single moment static. He is dynamic, constantly changing. A flux. But the flux has a balancing center. Sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right. He is very contradictory. He is not consistent. If you ask consistency, he will fall and die. If you say, stick to one situation, to one position. If you are a rightist, be a rightist. If you are a leftist, be a leftist. Or if you have chosen middle as your position, then be in the middle. But what are you doing? You are constantly moving. You will kill him. Any static position kills. To be static is to die. And die uselessly. To be static to miss life. No, he cannot remain in the middle. To remain in the middle, he cannot remain in the middle. To remain in the middle, he has to constantly move and balance. Every moment life is changing. How can you remain fixed? Every moment everything is changing. Nothing is static. Says Heraclitus, you cannot step in the same river twice. By the time you come to step in the river twice, the river has changed. And not only the river has changed, you have changed. How can you step twice in the river? Neither the river remains the same, nor you. Nothing remains the same. Sameness is illusion. Flux is reality. In such a changing world, in such an alive world, vibrating with life, if you cling to a position, you are dead. You are seeking suicide. That's why all those who have reached and concluded are dead. If you have concluded that you are a Hindu, you are dead. If you have concluded that you are a Mohammedan, you are dead. Because sometimes a Hindu needs to lean towards the Mohammedan to gain balance. And sometimes a Mohammedan needs to be a Hindu to gain balance. Balance is life. If you have decided that you are a communist, you are dead. To remain alive, even the communist needs to lean towards the capitalist. And the capitalist to lean towards the communist. Life is not as clear-cut as thinking. Thinking is very linear. Life is maddening. I have heard one anecdote, not written by Taoist, but the anecdote is Taoist. Knowingly, unknowingly, the man has brought Taoism in it. It is a German anecdote. It happened once, a small chicken was sitting in the hen house, absolutely Buddha-like, not a single worry in the world. And then suddenly appeared a man. She became afraid. She ran away. When she came back, the man had gone, but there was some corn just before the hen house. She started brooding, thinking. A scientific curiosity came to her mind. From where this corn has come? Then again next day, the man appeared. She again ran away, came back. The man had gone, but again the corn was there. Certainly there was some relationship between the man and the corn. But it was too early for a scientific thinker to come to a conclusion. She didn't want to commit to a theory so soon, in such a haste. She waited. She must have been really a scientist. She waited and waited and waited, and every day it happened. Then by and by, the theory became materialized in her small mind, that there is a cause and effect relationship. Whenever the man appears, the corn appears. 999 times she watched. Now it was absolutely certain that there is a cause-effect relationship. The man appears, the corn appears. The man is the cause, the cause is the effect. And 999 times is too much. She concluded now that there is a necessary relationship. And enough she has waited and experimented and watched and observed. And now she can say that without exception it happens. So it is must a, it must be a law. She was very happy and waited for the man. He appeared for the 1,000th time. The chicken went to the man to thank him for his kindness and had her head wrung. Life is like that. It has no cause-effect relationship. Even 999 times something appears. Don't conclude. 1,000th time may be the exception. And this is not only a story now in scientific circles. A philosophy of uncertainty is arising and gaining hold. After Heisenberg, science is not so certain as it used to be before. Now they say everything is uncertain. And certainty is just approximately certain, not absolutely certain. 999 times, okay. But then comes the exception. Even science is shaken, used to a scientific cause and effect relationship. Life remains mysterious. To remain in the middle, if you stick to the middle, you will miss. This is the mystery of life. To remain in the middle, you have to be constantly moving towards left and right. Only then you can remain. Because middle is not a fixed point. Middle, in fact, is nothing outside you. Middle is something inside you, a balance, a music, a harmony. Lao Tzu says, beware of the extreme. Don't go to the extreme, otherwise you will fall. Everything on the extreme changes to its opposite. If you are in love, and 24 hours you are after your lover, and you move to the extreme as lovers move, everything will be destroyed. You will destroy love yourself because it is too much. Unbearable it becomes. 24 hours you cannot love. 24 hours love means like a man eating 24 hours. Love is food. You should not move to the extreme. Otherwise, food can become poison. That is how things turn to their opposite. Food nourishes, but eat too much and food becomes poison. It kills. That which was a nourishment becomes a poison and a killer. Love is a nourishment. Do it too much, overdo it, and it kills. And only hatred is left. Do anything too much, and you will find the opposite of it has happened. Be after money too much, and in the end you will find you are a beggar. empty, missed the whole life and the very point of it. You missed all enrichments that life could have given to you because you were too much after riches. Be after happiness and move to the extreme, and you will be the most unhappy man in the world. To be happy, one need not go after happiness too much. Sometimes one has to forget about it. Sometimes one has even to enjoy unhappiness. To be happy, I'm saying. Sometimes one has to enjoy unhappiness also. That too is part of life and beautiful. This is how the balance is maintained. If you are laughing 24 hours, your laughter will become neurotic. It will no more be a laughter. You will go mad. To keep laughter alive and sane, tears are also needed. You cannot laugh 24 hours. Watch children, because they are pure beings and they reflect things absolutely clear. They are mirror-like. If a child laughs too much, in the villages, mothers say, don't laugh too much, otherwise you will weep. Some wisdom in it. If a child laughs too much, he is bound to weep. You can see, he is laughing, and suddenly he has started crying. The laughter came to the extreme, became crying. You cannot be happy 24 hours. Unhappiness is a relaxation. You cannot be unhappy for 24 hours. Happiness is a relaxation. It is a tightrope walking. And man is foolish because man is too logical. You live in the world as a grihast, as a householder. Then you 24 hours live in the world. Not in 24 hours, even for 1 hour, you are out of it. In meditation, in prayer, in isolation, alone. Enjoying just yourself. Not bothering about the world and worldly things. No. Then one day you get fed up with it. Bound to be. It is going to happen. If you remain a householder 24 hours, one day you will get fed up to the extreme you have come. Then you renounce and run away to the Himalayas. People who run away to the Himalayas are perfect householders. Perfect, I say. They did too much. They overdid it. When you overdo, the other extreme is bound to be born. It takes revenge. A man who was too much in the world, just accumulating riches, money, bank balance, suddenly feels frustrated. He laughed too much, now tears are flowing. He escapes. He renounces, he becomes a sannyasi, goes to the Himalayas, moves to the caves. What has happened to this man? You think a revolution? Nothing like that. Just a natural phenomena. Just a natural phenomena. He was too much in the world, now he has to become just the opposite. And now 24 hours he will try to be a sannyasi, and now again the same foolishness. One day, he is bound to come to the marketplace again. 24 hours he tried to be a householder, he could not be. Now he is doing the same stupidity again. 24 hours a sannyasi. Life is a rhythm. You breathe in, you breathe out. You cannot only go on breathing in, you will die. You cannot go on breathing out, you will die. You have to breathe in and breathe out, and you have to keep a balance. The same amount of breath going in has to come out, then you are healthy. The life of the world is in breathing, and the life of a sannyasin is out breathing. They both have to be together. People come to me and they ask, what type of sannyasins you are creating? We have never heard. What type of sannyas is this? People are living in their houses, they are doing their business, they go to the office, work in the factory, they have wives and children. What type of sannyas is this? We have never heard about it. Yes, you have never heard about it. But this is the only sannyas that is right. This is the only sannyas that is balanced. This is the only sannyas which has a harmony of in-breathing and out-breathing. And the greatest possibility of attaining peaks of bliss are possible only when in-breathing and out-breathing are completely balanced. You are not leaning to any side too much. Suddenly, you are beyond both. Lao Tzu says, stretch a boat to the very full, and you will wish you had stopped in time, because the bow will break. Stretch a boat to the full. It could have served you for long, if you had been a little alert. Never stretch a boat to the full, because fullness is always death. A life doesn't want anything perfect, because with perfection, evolution stops. Perfection is death. Imperfection is life. Life loves imperfection. Become perfect and you are useless. Life will throw you into the rubbish heap. You are no more needed. Remain imperfect and you will be alive. And life will support you from everywhere. That's why perfection is not the goal for Lao Tzu or for me, but totality. You can be total without being perfect. And you can be perfect without being total. In fact, you can only be perfect if you are not total. Because perfection will choose either the right or the left. Then you become a perfect rightist. Or you become a perfect leftist. Or you become a perfect middler. But perfection means you are fixed. Perfection means no change moves within you. Perfection means now you are frozen, not flowing. And perfection is always partial. The greatest of men have never been perfect, they have been total. Total means they have everything in them. But they are not just the sum total of everything, they are more than that sum total. They have everything in them, and then a harmony arises which is beyond everything that they have. They are not just the arithmetical total. They are an artistic total. A poem is more than all the words in it. It has to be. Otherwise it will be simply words. A painting is more than all the colors in it. It has to be. Otherwise, what type of painting it is? It happened once, an American wanted to have a portrait painted by Picasso. He knew that he will ask fantastic price, but he could give. He had enough. So they didn't decide the price first. He asked and Picasso did it. Then when the portrait was ready, he came and Picasso really asked a fantastic price. Even that American could not believe that for such a small portrait, just a small piece of canvas and few colors on it, $10,000. The American said, it seems a little too much, even for me. What is there in it for $10,000? Picasso said, what do you see? He said, I see a piece of canvas and few colors. Picasso said, okay, bring $10,000 or whatsoever you want. He said, I will give you $5,000. He said, bring it. He brought $5,000. Picasso gave him not the portrait, but a piece of canvas and few tubes of colors. And he said, you take it. This is all you wanted. A portrait is more than a piece of canvas, more than few colors, because it is a harmony. And when Picasso paints something, it is a great harmony. The prize is not for the colors and the canvas. The prize is for the harmony that he has brought to the colors and the canvas. Something that transcends. When a man is total, he has all, left, right, middle, and all other positions in between. He has all, the whole range. He is a rainbow. The all range of colors are in him. But he is more than that range. He is a harmony in them. That harmony is a constant changing phenomena. You have to attain it again and again and again. And that is the beauty of it, because then it is never old, never boring, never flat, never stale. Each moment it arises out of nothingness. Each moment it is fresh like the morning dew. It is ever fresh. A Lao Tse lives in an ever freshness, an ever greenness. If he has attained something, attained forever, guaranteed, then it will become stale. Then dust will gather on it. Then past will gather on it. And sooner or later one will be feeling bored with it, and one would like to throw it. Even the enlightenment, if you are not gaining it again and again, will become a boring phenomenon. The same, you will feel fed up with it. Stretch a boat to the very full, and you will wish you had stopped in time. Don't stretch a bow to the very full. If you are laughing, it is better to smile than to laugh. Because a smile never brings tears, only a laughter. Or if you laugh, keep balance. Don't go to the very extreme. Remain on the plain ground. Otherwise, sooner or later, you will be thrown to the other extreme, and then you will suffer. When you are happy, keep control. Don't be too much happy. There is no need. A smile in happiness, don't laugh. Keep quiet about it. then happiness can stay for long. If you know the knack of it, it can stay forever. A smile can stay forever, not a laughter. So you can find a Buddha is smiling but not laughing. He knows the art how to keep balance. Love, be nourished by it, nourish the other by it, feel ecstatic, but don't go mad. Otherwise, sooner or later, you will finish everything. Sooner or later, everything will turn into hatred. Lovers can become enemies very easily. In fact, how can you make an enemy unless first you make him a friend? And deeper the friendship, deeper will be the enmity if it comes ever. You cannot create an enemy without creating friendship first. Friendship seems to be the first requirement. If you move into too much, if you come too close, you will create enmity. Never go too close. Always keep a little distance. Khalil Gibran, in his wonderful book, Prophet, says, lovers should be like pillars of a temple, supporting the same roof, but not too close to each other. Like pillars. If they come too close, the whole temple will fall. If they go too far away, then too the whole temple will fall. They cannot come too close, they cannot go too far. They should be like pillars of a temple, supporting the same roof. This is the arch, the neck. If you want your love to be eternal, don't come too close. Because if you come too close, then the need to go far away arises. If you come too close, then you trespass each other's freedom. And everybody needs a space of his own. Love is beautiful when it coexists with your space. If it starts trespassing your space, then it becomes poisonous. And lovers always behave foolishly and stupidly. When they are in love, they don't listen to anything. They try to come too close, and then they destroy. They destroy their love. Had they been a little wiser, they would not have come too close, and then they would have remained close forever. Bernard Suss has said somewhere that by the time a man becomes wise in love, the life is gone. Very old people become wise in love, but then the possibility of love is gone. Bernard Suss says that I always wonder why God wastes youth on young people. It should be given to old people, wiser, who have lived, known, and attained a balance. And God goes on wasting on young people. Youth wasting on young people. In everything, this should be the golden rule. Always keep balance. An imbalanced being cannot exist in life. Life does not allow imbalance. More balanced you are, life gives you more. less balanced you are, you become a beggar on your own account. Life cannot give to you. Stretch a bow to the very full and you will wish you had stopped in time. Just a few days before, I was reading a German poet. In his introduction, he writes, "Had Hitler known this sentence of Lao Tse, stretch a bow to the very full and you will wish you had stopped in time." Hitler was successful, but he had not known Lao Tse. People like Hitler never know. Stretch a bow. Now Indra has stretched the bow too much. Don't succeed too much, otherwise you will fail. You have heard the proverb that nothing fails like failure. That is not true. I would tell you the right proverb: nothing fails like success. If you go on succeeding, you are bound to fail. There is a limit to everything. If you go on succeeding, a moment comes suddenly, flop, and everything goes beyond your control. Take everything in measure. If you are succeeding, don't be in a hurry. And don't move to the very end. Because after success, nothing is left, only failure. Always take everything in homeopathic doses. Allopathy is good, but allopathic doses are not good. And be alert. Are you moving to the very limit of a thing? If you are moving to the very limit, you are moving to the opposite, in fact. Stretch a bow to the very full and you will wish you had stopped in time, because you will break it. Temper a sword edge to its very sharpest and the edge will not last long. Only balance lasts, nothing else. And balance is the most difficult thing in existence and life. Because balance needs tremendous wisdom. It happened. Lao Tse's disciple Chuang Tse lived in a town for many years. Then one day suddenly he told to his disciples that we are leaving. They said, "But what has happened that you are leaving? We don't see any point. Why we should go to another town? Everything is good. Everything settled, comfortable. In fact, right, by now we have been able to make everything comfortable and you are moving again. And what has happened?" Chuang Tse said that now people have started to know me. My fame is spreading. And when there is fame, one should be alert. Because soon these same people will defame me. Before they start defaming me, I should leave this town. A moment comes when fame becomes defame, when success becomes failure. Remember always to remain in the middle. A constant alertness is needed. Otherwise, the tendency of the mind is, when you are succeeding, why not succeed a little more? The mind says, when you are succeeding, why not try a little more? And you see that the road is clear and nobody is barring the way, why not try a little more? The mind goes on. Mind is obsessive. Whatsoever it takes, it becomes an obsession to it. If it is success mad, a success mania, then it goes obsessively after success, unless it fails. Unless it fails, it will not take a rest. It goes on and on and on. Try to understand the nature of the mind. It is obsession. If you do something, the mind goes on 24 hours doing it. It won't give you rest. It is like a demon. It will not allow you rest. And rest is needed. Do, but don't do too much. Otherwise, the same energy will become the undoing. Temper is sowed age to its very sharpest, and the age will not last long. When gold and jade fill your hall, you will not be able to keep them safe. When everything is too much, it is bound to be taken away. It happened once. A follower of Lao Tse was made a judge. The first case that came into the court before him was about a thief. And the thief has confessed that he has stolen. The case was clear. The thief has confessed. The things were caught. But the follower of Lao Tse took a very, very strange approach and attitude to it. He jailed the thief for 6 months. And he also jailed the man from whom he has stolen the things. Of course, the rich man could not believe. What nonsense! My things have been stolen, and I am being sentenced for what? The disciple of Lao Tse said, because you have gathered too much. Now, if I go to the very roots of the problem, you have provoked this man to steal. In the whole village, people are poor, almost starving, and you go on piling up riches. There is a limit to everything. So if I look, who is the real criminal, then you are the real criminal. You started the whole thing first. This thief is just a victim. I know that he couldn't control him. That's his fault. But you accumulated too much. And when riches accumulate too much with one man, the society cannot remain moral. Cannot remain moral. Thieves will bubble up. Robberies will happen. Murders will happen. All sorts of immoralities will happen. They are bound to happen. Nobody has listened. The judge was removed from his post. The emperor said, this is too much. This man is dangerous. Someday he will catch me. Because if he goes even to more deeper roots, he will find me. this man has to be removed. But Lao Tse has to be hurt. He touches the very nerve of the whole disease. If you gather too much, it will be stolen. It will be unsafe. Remain in the limits. Remain balanced. Too much poverty is bad. Too much richness is bad. Too much is bad. In fact, for Lao Tse, too much is the only sin. Don't do too much. Don't overdo. And then life is a flow. And life is moral. To be proud with wealth and honor is to sow the seeds of one's own downfall. It happens every day, but you are blind, so you cannot see. It happens every day, everywhere. You see every day. Your politicians in this country, in every country, they are too egoistic, too much filled with their own ego. And then reactions start. Then somebody throws a shoe and somebody throws a stone. And then people try to disrespect them. A balance has to be created. If you feel that your ego is supreme, then somebody is bound to come from somewhere to pull you down to your right size. Somebody is needed because you could not remain in control by yourself. And life always creates balance because imbalance is an ill state of affairs. If in a country politicians are too much egoistic and they ask for too much respect, soon disrespect will come in. Soon there will be rebellion. Soon there will be revolution. Soon everything will be destroyed. All codes of moral respect, manner will be destroyed. The politicians should not ask too much respect. They should come a little lower in the limits. Then nobody bothers to throw stones at them. Why? There is no question. In the old days, rich men never sold their riches. They lived as ordinarily as everybody else. Even kings and emperors used to come to beggars like Buddha and Mahavir to pay their respects. They were always honored. There was a balance. Now the balance is completely lost. No politician bothers to pay respect to anybody. He becomes supreme when he is in power. He trespasses the limit. Then his leg has to be pulled down. Then somebody somewhere arises. That is simply a balance. Always remember, life is never unjust. If it looks unjust, then you must have done something wrong. Somewhere you must have come beyond the balance, then life seems to be unjust. Otherwise, life is never unjust. And whenever you feel the injustice, it is better to look at yourself. something you have done wrong and you have been punished. In fact, people have been thinking for millennia that sins are punished. I say to you that sins are not punished, sins are the punishment. Because when you say sins are punished, you have time to wait. Maybe in the next life, who bothers? And we will see in the next life. You can postpone. But I say to you, sins are the punishment. They are not punished somewhere in the future. Sins carry their punishment in themselves. Punishment is intrinsic to every sin. It is not a result somewhere in the future. It is not that you sow today and you reap tomorrow. No. There is no time gap. You sin and immediately you are punished. And immediately the punishment has started. Here you sin, and here immediately the punishment starts. And you feel ugly, and you feel sad, and you feel guilty, and a turmoil, and a chaos arises inside, and you are unhappy and in hell. Hell is not somewhere in the future, neither heaven. Each act carries its own heaven or hell. Remain balanced and you are in heaven. Become unbalanced and the hell is created. Nobody else is creating it for you. Lao Tse has no God, no personal God to punish anybody. It is simply Tao. If you move according to Tao. Tao is just a law, a universal law. If you move accordingly, you are happy. If you move against, you become unhappy. In fact, unhappiness is a symptom, just like as happiness is a symptom. A symptom that how you are moving, according to Tao or against Tao. When you are moving according to Tao, you are happy, blissful, celebrating. Every moment is a joy, a delight. Life seems like poetry. Every moment you see something flowering, growing. Every moment you see thousand things to be grateful for. You are blessed. Life is a benediction if you follow, move according to the law. And the law is of balance. If you move against, you go contrary to the law, suddenly you lose balance. Happiness disappears, you become unhappy. You become sad, miserable. A hell is created. Hell is just a symptom. Don't try to fight with it. Just try to understand where you have moved against the law, that's all. And move back. Gain balance. Whenever you are sad, don't try to change sadness. Don't try to do anything with sadness. Sadness is symptomatic. It simply shows that somewhere you have gone against the law. Find the balance again. Maybe you need a turning. Maybe you need a leaning towards left or right a little more. So the balance is gained again. And this has to be so continuously. People come to me and they say, if we meditate and if we succeed, will silence and peace remain forever and forever? They are asking a stupid question. Then meditation will be a dead thing, like a stone, not like a flower. And meditation is not like a stone, not even like a plastic flower. It is a real lotus. It blooms. It changes. With the sun it opens. In the night it closes. There is a balance continuous. And you have to find the balance every moment. Meditation is not something you do once and you are done with. It is something that is like a breathing, like blood circulating. It is not that once the blood circulated, finished. Once you breathed, now there is no need. No, you have to breathe. You have to go on meditating. And every moment you will need it. By and by it will become natural, that's right. By and by you will less and less go against Allah. When the neck is found, the very moment your step is going against Allah, you will see the hell and you will move back and you will come to the path. You will not go astray. To be proud with wealth and honor is to sow the seeds of one's own downfall. Retire when your work is done. Such is heaven's way. Retire when your work is done. When you see that a work has given you balance, you have attained happiness, don't ask for more. When you feel good, don't ask for more. When you are surrounded by well-being, don't ask for more. Retire. Enjoy it. Revel in it. Dance with it. Don't ask for more. The mind is always asking for more. The mind says, okay, this is good, that I am feeling a certain well-being, but more is possible. So first I should attain the more, then you miss that which was possible. That had already become actual, you miss. And if you listen to this mind which goes on for more and for more and for more, it will lead you to the end, to the extreme, and suddenly you fall into the hell and you are miserable, unhappy. Whatsoever you gain, make it a criterion. If you are feeling good, if you are feeling well, if you are feeling blissful, silent, peaceful, a certain delight around you, and life has become a song for this moment, sing it. Don't ask for more. Chew it. Absorb it. Don't ask for more. Retire. That is the meaning of retire. Now, stop more efforts. Enough you have gained. Now, let it be enjoyed. Live it. And then you will see a different dimension comes to your being. There are two dimensions. One is horizontal. More, more, more. That is horizontal dimension. You move in a line. You are on the point A, you want to be on the point B. When you are on the point B, you want on the point C. Soon you will reach to the X by Z. And from Z is hell. Z is the door of hell. But you cannot stop. The mind goes on. The mind says, look, you are on C and D is possible. So why waste time on C? Go to the D. Then E becomes possible. Then go to the E. No moment to enjoy. no moment to celebrate, no moment to retire and be. Doing, doing, never being. Because being means, see, is enough, now enjoy it. You have earned the bread for today, now retire. But the mind says, what about the safe in the bank? It is still half filled. You have to fill it completely. In India, they call it the vicious circle of the 99. They have a story. A poor barber was very happy, tremendously happy, as sometimes only poor people can be. He had nothing to worry about. But he was the barber to the royal king. He used to massage him, to trim his hairs, to serve him every day. And even the king was jealous. And he always asked him, what is the secret of your happiness? You are always bubbling. You seem not walking on the earth. You simply moving on the wing. What secret is there? The poor boy will say, I don't know. In fact, I have never heard the word secret before. What do you mean? I'm simply happy. I earn my bread. And that's all, and then I retire. He must have been a Laosian. Then the king asked his wazir, his prime minister, and he was a very, very man, a man of knowledge, a knowledgeable man. He asked him, you must be knowing the secret of this Baba. I am a great king. I am not so happy, and this poor man having nothing and so happy. The prime minister said he does not know anything about the vicious circle of 99. The king said, what is this? The wazir laughed and he said, you are in it, but you don't know it. You do one thing. Tonight we will throw a bag containing 99 rupees in it into the barber's house and then see what happens. They threw a bag containing 99 rupees in it. Next day, the barber was in hell. He came very sad and worried. In fact, he couldn't sleep the whole night. He counted again and again the bag, 99. And he was so excited. How to sleep when you are excited? The heart was throbbing, the blood was circulating, there must have been a high blood pressure and excitement. And he turned and turned and he couldn't sleep. He will get up again, touch those golden rupees, again count. He had never had the experience of counting rupees, and 99 was the trouble. Because when you have 99, you want them to be 100. So he was planning what to do tomorrow. So he gets 1 rupee. 1 golden rupee is a difficult thing to get. He was getting only few paisas, and there were enough in those days. How to get 1 rupee? Because 1 rupee, golden rupee, means almost 1 month's earning. What to do? He planned in many ways. A poor man, not knowing much about money, got into trouble. He could thought only one thing, that he will fast one day and one day he will eat. So this way, by and by, he can accumulate 1 rupee and 100 rupees will be good. Mind has a stupidity to complete things. Mind is a perfectionist. 99, a obsession is created. There must be 100. He was sad. Next day he came. He was not flying in the sky. He was deeply on the earth. Not only deeply on the earth, but a great burden a stone-like thing hanging around his neck. The king asked, "What is the matter with you? You look too much worried." He said nothing because he didn't want to say about that bag. But every day the situation was getting worse and worse. He could not massage well. He had no energy fasting. So king said, "What are you doing now? You don't seem to have any energy. And you look so sad and miserable. What has happened?" So one day he had to tell the king. The king insisted that, "You tell me. I can be of help. You just tell me what is the matter." He said, "I am now a victim of the vicious circle of 99. When you have 99, there is a vicious circle. You want them to be 100. This is the horizontal line. And don't think then when they are 100, things will stop. Things never stop. Mind does not know where to stop. It knows no stop. That's why it falls. It goes without stopping anywhere, from A to B, from B to Z, and goes on and on, and from Z it falls into hell. Then there is another way of life, the vertical, not horizontal. You don't move from A to B, from B to C. No, you don't move in a line. On the same plane, on the same level, no. You move from A to A1, to A2, to A3, in a vertical line, in the depth. You move in the depth of the A. Whatsoever is in the moment, you move deep into it. Not from this moment to next, but in this very moment you move as deeply as possible. And then even one moment becomes eternity. And your happiness grows, knows no bounds. Your bliss grows, knows no bounds. And is never an imbalance. You are always balanced. A vertical mind is always balanced because a vertical mind is no more a mind. The whole effort of meditation to give you a vertical mind. Vertical mind virtually means no mind. Then you move from A to A1, A to A3, in the depth or in the height, vertical. When B comes, again you move B1, B2, BC. You never fall from anywhere because you always go in the depth. This is what retirement is. You have earned the bread today, now retire. But you don't know how to retire. You go on earning the bread in the dreams also. You lie down and you plan for tomorrow. And nobody knows whether the tomorrow is going to come or not. In fact, it never comes. It is always today. Planning for the future, not knowing that death will destroy all future. Remain in the moment, be wise, live it as totally as possible. And then you will know no death. Because a man who is not worried about tomorrow knows no death. He becomes deathless. Because death is tomorrow, life is today. Death is in the future. Life is always in the present. This is the meaning of retire. If you like me to translate it, this word retire, I will call it sannyas. Not in the end of life you have to retire. Retire every day, retire every moment. When you have enjoyed a moment, it is retirement. It is through retirement. It is sannyas. When you come to your house back from the office, leave the office in the office. Don't carry it in the head. Otherwise the head will have a headache, bound to have. Such a big thing, office, you carry in the head. It is heavy. The whole market in the head, it is heavy. Fali Bhai goes in the share market, he knows. You can carry the share market in the head. Then it is madness. But he never carries. He has learnt how to retire a little. Retirement every day. Retirement every moment. The very word retirement does not look good to us. It gives the feeling of old age, inability. Somewhere beyond 65, when death comes near, then one retires. No, the word retire is very beautiful. It is the meaning of sannyas. Retire means rest. The work is done, now retire. Enjoy it. Don't postpone enjoyment. That is the meaning of the word retire. Enjoy here and now. Retire when your work is done, such as the heaven's way, that is Tao. Never go to the extreme. The work is always done within the limits. Remain in the limits. Enclosed in the limits. That's the discipline. Discipline of a sannyasin. Always remaining in the middle. Always remaining within limits. Always remaining satisfied. Not hankering after more and more and more. Drop the horizontal line. Move into the vertical. Retire. And you will be fulfilled. And you will know the greatest fulfillment that life can give to you. That is a deep moment of total balance, tranquility. We have called it enlightenment, liberation, moksha, nirvana. Or you name it. Enough for today.